To begin, I want to thank Mr. Ball for his very thorough introduction to this sermon today. You will see shortly, and there's no collaboration, but the thing is, God orchestrates these messages. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, heart disease is the leading cause of death for men and women in the United States. And this disease refers to any condition that affects the heart. There are several different types of heart disease, the majority of which can be prevented. We know the heart is a life-giving and life-sustaining organ in our body. And we use the word heart metaphorically for the essence of something, such as the heart of the matter. The heart is the command center of your soul, your mind, your will, and your affections. When we say that someone has a heart of stone, we mean that he is unmoved by emotional appeals. Metaphorically, the heart is the center of someone's soul, the place where he makes his decisions, his experiences, and his emotions. The heart is also a high-risk and vulnerable place. Referencing Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We begin to comprehend that the heart is more than just an organ for pumping blood. The word heart in Hebrew is lebab. In the Greek, cardia. And this word occurs over 800 times in Scripture. Heart denotes a person's center for both physical, emotional, intellectual, and moral activities. Sounds like a detail of the human mind, doesn't it? Ancient people's viewpoint that the heart was the central organ that moved the rest of the body. Ancient people ate to strengthen the heart and so revive the body. An example. In Genesis 18, verses 1 through 5, when the Lord appeared to Abraham with two angels informing him that he would have a son, Abraham said, "I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts." Refresh your hearts. So what does heart mean to you? Let's ask a few questions. Where does courage come from? Where does compassion and sympathy come from? Tenderness, sorrow. Where does love come from? And where does faith come from? The heart does much more than we might have considered. When we understand the function of our hearts, it is up to us to maintain a healthy heart. So how? Today, my purpose is to show how to maintain a healthy heart. This will not be about physical activities for a healthy heart, although there is merit in maintaining a healthy heart physically. But more so, we will outline the benefits of having and maintaining a healthy heart, a healthy spiritual heart. So why is this important? Fundamentally, because God does. Quoting 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Today's title, The Heart of the Matter. The circumstances for today's message came by way of reading a scripture in Psalms 139, verse 3. Let's turn there. Psalms 139, verse 3. Psalm 139, verse 3. Verse 3, "You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways." And you probably noticed the word heart is not in this passage. If you have a center column reference in your Bible, there is a numeral next to the word comprehend. This word means winnow. Not minnow, winnow. Winnow is an agricultural term meaning separating the wheat from the chaff. Separating what is valuable for what is unwanted, undesirable. The Hebrew word is zera, translated as search out or scrutinize. As a farmer winnows his crops to separate the wheat from the chaff, God knows our ways, our condition, our conduct. God examines our ways, our hearts, so thoroughly that he doesn't miss a thing. In Psalm 26, verse 2, a psalm of David, David writes, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." In Scripture, the heart and the mind are separate but equivalent, complementary components in our love of God. In two interrelated psalms, Psalm 139 and Psalm 26, King David appeals to God to search out, to scrutinize, to examine thoroughly his heart. Why? Why would David make this request? We begin to discover the answer contained in Jesus Christ's first sermon, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 17. The scriptural heading for this section is Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In his first sermon, Jesus is challenging people to change their thinking. How? It's to repent. Repentance is an action. Simply put, repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind that brings us closer to God. This includes turning away from sin and turning to God for forgiveness. Repentance is motivated by love for God and for a sincere desire to obey his commandments. Jesus Christ preached on numerous topics, but first and foremost, Jesus preached a message of repentance. To change one's way of life as a result of a complete change of thought with regard to sin and righteousness. And this path begins where? It begins between the ears. So what is between the ears? The brain? The mind? While the brain controls a person's movements, emotions, and various bodily functions, the mind alludes to a person's morality, reasoning, and notice, understanding. The brain is a physical organ. It can be touched or seen. However, the mind is intangible. It is abstract. It can neither be touched nor seen. And the word brain is not even once recorded in Scripture. Yet the heart is recorded over 800 times. As we move forward today, we'll begin to see an interconnection, an alliance with the heart and with the mind in Scripture. And this, in fact, was part of Job's first coursework. Turn with me to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. We'll begin reading in verse 36. Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Wisdom in the mind, understanding in the heart. Where do these qualities originate? These are questions God is asking of Job. God is using an educational method, asking questions of his students. Wisdom and understanding are not products of an evolutionary process. Let's look at Job 39. Job 39, verse 13. Begin reading in verse 13. The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. Verse 15, she forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. Not a very wise method to promote future ostrich, is it? Now in verse 17, because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. Wisdom and understanding are products of the mind, the human mind. No animal knows it is an animal. Human beings, on the other hand, are aware of what they are and who they are. And this is a function of the mind. God created the mind and gave us our minds. And it's through the mind that we have dominion over the animals. Humans have a brain. Animals have a brain. So what makes us different? The answer is found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Verses we know by heart. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Mankind was made after the God kind. So given what we have covered so far, we must conclude that the Creator God has a heart as well as a mind. Would you agree? We read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, God's intention for young Samuel. Verse 35, "Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind." What is in my heart and in my mind? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Let's turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. This passage is where King David is instructing his son Solomon in the construction of the temple. Verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with," notice, "a loyal heart and with a willing mind. And the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." God understands what motivates us, because he searches our hearts. There are so many scriptural references to God's heart and mind recorded for a purpose, that we may develop and internalize his heart and his mind. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. One chapter over. Verse 18. And this passage is prior to Solomon being anointed king. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 18. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you." Meaning to prepare or to establish their heart towards you. This is God's design for all people. Our hearts are extremely valuable to us, and we will see extremely valuable to God. My stated purpose for today is how to maintain a healthy heart. Number one. Guard, as in guard your heart. Number two, examine, as in examine your heart. And number three, how, as in how we think. Trash collection in my neighborhood is Monday morning. Sometimes Sunday afternoon or evening, I gather up the household trash, I put the bags in the trash can, and I put the can at the curb for Monday morning pickup. My garbage can sits at the curb through the night, unguarded. Why would anyone need to guard their trash? You would not give it a second thought. There is no need to guard it because it is worthless. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart. In other translations, read, guard your heart. With all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Your actions, your words, your relationship to your God. Why would you need to guard your heart? Because our heart is essential in our relationship with God, as well as in our relationship with each other. So let's ask, what are the consequences of not guarding your heart? The concern physically would be a heart attack. Regarding your spiritual condition, the consequences are the same, a heart attack. If your heart is unhealthy, it threatens everything else. Family, friends, career, everything, physically and spiritually. Examples of an unhealthy heart: disappointment, dwelling on mistakes and failures, discouragement, despair, to lose hope, disillusionment, an attack on your beliefs, leading to disappointment and depression. We might even say that these are causes of a broken heart. We're beginning to see the advantage of guarding our hearts. A healthy heart benefits everyone. So let's view examples of a healthy heart physically. Lose weight, exercise, eat healthy, manage stress. So what can we do to maintain a healthy heart spiritually? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Within two verses, we see examples of disciplines for a healthy heart. So how so? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This word, trust, by definition means belief in something as true, trustworthy. A similar word is faith. We read in Scripture that true faith is trusting in the unseen. Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Apostle Paul teaches a heart-healthy exercise in 2 Corinthians, verse 5. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, there is a two-part exercise. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. So where can we perform this activity? At your gymnasium. And in your mind and in your heart. A broken heart is a spiritual issue. Therefore, you need spiritual medication. So who supplies the spiritual medication? Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 16 through 21. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ recorded in Isaiah 61. Luke chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Verse 21, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." There is so much detail in five verses regarding Jesus Christ's role in the inhabitants of this earth. His role as Savior of all mankind. But I want to zero in on verse 18 specifically. He has sent me to heal the broken heart. A broken heart is a state of mind. Again, the handshake between the heart and the mind. So let's ask how. How does Jesus Christ heal the brokenhearted? We can begin to answer that question by looking at today's second point. Examine the heart. Every broken heart means some measure of loss. A broken heart will change you. Yet it doesn't have to be destructive. On the contrary, there's a positive spiritual benefit. Earlier today, we identified that God indeed has a heart and God has a mind. Wherefore, let's ask this question. What breaks God's heart? All mankind is guilty of this. A sinful heart. A deceitful heart. A wicked heart. An adulterous heart. And an evil and unbelieving heart. And there are so many more descriptions of a heart that God does not want to see. In Deuteronomy 5 verse 29, God speaks, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." The intent of the heart, the motivation of the heart, God is looking within our hearts. So how can we maintain a healthy heart? Fear God and keep His commandments. It is an elementary, straightforward exercise. The lack of this exercise creates the spiritual heart attack that plagues our society today. We read in Psalm 139, verse 3, King David stated, You comprehend my path. You search out. You scrutinize everything about me. What makes me, me, and what makes you, you. And rehearsing 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, again, "For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God knows us. He knows what our motivation is. God knows our actions. What we do matters a lot to God. Our thoughts and our actions, our motivation, God knows us. This is speaking to the heart of the matter. God knows what we are doing in our hearts. Do we know what we are doing in our hearts? Do we understand how close we are to God in our hearts? This is the incentive for point number two. Examine our hearts. We understand from Scripture that God examines us, knows our intent, our motivation. Point number two, examine the heart, is specifically pointing to faithful Christians. Do we know how close we are to God in our hearts? One step can be found in James chapter 1. Please turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 27. James chapter 1. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. This is the outward focus. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world, the inward focus. Still, how do we keep ourselves unspotted from this world? We must examine our hearts. James 1, verse 26, let's read. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, then this one's religion is useless. In verses 26 and 27 of James chapter 1, we see a contrast. What type of religion is acceptable to God? Well, taking care of the less fortunate, the widows and the orphans, as well as keeping oneself from being polluted by this world. In order to identify the contrast, let's define what the word religious means in verse 26. From the Greek word pronounced triskeia, this word religious worship, this word means religious worship. This word is used only four times in Scripture. And this is what we do here every Sabbath. Essentially, our personal relationship with our Creator. Yet not only on the Sabbath, but every time we apply God's Word to our lives. Here in verse 26 is the application. James 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, and notice, deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Not keeping a tight rein on our tongue, what we say, James calls this religion useless, worthless, empty. Come with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 35. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, such as in taking care of the less fortunate. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words define who we are. Are they good treasure or are they evil treasure? We can read the Bible from cover to cover, but unless we put its teachings into practice, we deceive ourselves. James chapter 1, verse 26 again. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, thinks he has a relationship with the eternal, but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. We accumulate truth in our hearts and in our minds. Holding the truth of God in one's mind doesn't necessarily mean you changed in character. The truth that God has given us by intent is to change us. Examining our hearts is a process, like the farmer winnowing his crops, separating the wheat from the chaff, separating the good words from the bad words, the good intention from the bad intentions, to search out and to scrutinize. God knows our ways. He examines our heart. And King David showed us the way in Psalm 26, verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and in my heart. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Symptoms of a heart attack. Chest pain, shortness of breath, nausea, sweating. Not a physical heart attack, but a spiritual heart attack. James chapter 1, verse 26 again. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but, notice, deceives his own heart. Deceives his own heart. Controlling the tongue is the heart-healthy exercise. Heart disease is when we deceive our own heart. One of the primary obstacles to achieving a pure heart is ourselves. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Forgetting the Word of God is a form of self-deception. James 1, verse 23 shows us the progression of an unhealthy heart. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He disregards what he saw, willfully forgets what kind of man he is. And this brings us to point number three, how I think. We made the statement earlier, forgetting the Word of God is a form of self-deception. James 1, verse 25, let's read. James 1, verse 25 again. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This word work means occupation. Not about how you make your living, but how you live as a Christian, as we follow Jesus Christ's words. He continues, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Jesus confirms this thought in Luke chapter 11. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 28. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This confirms today's third point, how I think. We hear the word of God, we take it into our hearts, and let it change us. This is repentance. When we commit to this exercise, letting God's word change us, this is the heart healthy exercise and today's purpose, how to maintain a healthy heart. Yet we face a restriction. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we find the answer in verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I will read. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our hearts. God knows our minds. God knows our hearts can be deceitful. Then he must know how we think. James 1, verse 22, the scripture reads, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So what are we to do? Guard our hearts. Examine our hearts. Our hearts are essential in our relationship with Almighty God. But still, there is another exercise that we can learn from examples. The story of Samson in the scriptures. He learned the hard way that forgetting the word of God is a form of self-deception. Samson relied on his own physical strength and not the strength that God gives through obedience. Goliath is another example of self-deception. His great size and strength ensured him over Israel and a much weaker David. But Goliath did not even know. His fight was not with David, but with David's God. Self-deception can also occur in one's security. The parable of the rich fool. He believed he had come to a time in his life when he could take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But that was wishful thinking. For he would die that night. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. This is a passage addressing the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea was also a victim of self-deception. Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, this is a symptom of the heart and the mind. Symptom of indifference, not important. But God called us not to be lukewarm. He called us to be hot. Verse 16, I will spew you out of my mouth. God has very high expectations for those who he calls. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, I don't need God in my life now. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Conditions of the spirit in man. They did not know that they were deceiving themselves. Deception grows in the heart and mind if we don't guard them. One of the primary reasons for a spiritual heart attack, deceiving our own self. The good news, this kind of heart attack can be prevented. The medicine for this type of heart attack, James prescribes the answer. Verse 22 of chapter 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's conclude for today. One final scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Turn to our hearts reflect our relationship with our Creator. And today we have examined how to maintain a healthy spiritual heart. Number one, repentance. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart. It is a practice of examining our hearts. Number two, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a spiritual exercise for a healthy heart. Trust equals faith. Having faith to spiritually survive our day and our age. Number three, guard our hearts. Guard our hearts from self-deception, a spiritual heart attack that can be prevented. And number four, the key to how I live is how I think. God knows us. What our motivation is, God knows our thoughts, God knows our actions. What we do matters a lot to God. And God knows our motivation, our thoughts. Can we remember His thoughts? Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll read verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, speaking of the God of Israel, the God of physical Israel, and to us spiritual Israel. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, and notice, a future and a hope. This was God's plan from the very beginning, to give us, to give all mankind a future and a hope. And that future, that hope, is sure. Quoting Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That sure future, that hope, must fill our hearts and our minds. And it is our model prayer, Thy kingdom come.